Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, in with Thomas Frank Carr, also known as T-Frank. And it's quarter number three, and that means it's time for Ask T-Frank. This is where we have T-Frank answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions. If you want to submit a question, you can download our app. It's simply Keystone Sports, or you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question, and the winner will get the great KSN polo shirt. T-Frank, are you ready?
Ready as always. Let's do this.
All right. Let's start with John in Erie, who says, T-Frank, is there a position that concerns you as far as recruiting? Where are we the weakest on the recruiting front?
Historically, so that's a great question. Historically, or in the class of 22, the class of 23, that is that. So there's a lot of ways you can take that. I think that we've had a long conversation about Kalen King today, but historically, Penn State has been a little weaker at that position, at corner. So they fixed that one. Safety, they've done a good job of fixing that, both through the JUCO route and getting some guys in that are, you know, talented guys that are younger. Linebacker right now would be the one. But if you're going to be bad at a position in modern football, linebacker is really hard, so you might as well be bad at linebacker. The class of 22 has fixed a lot of the defensive line problems going forward. I mean, if they can keep that line class together, they've got a lot of different talented body types. So some of maybe the deficiencies there have been fixed. And again, that three technique position with Jordan Vandenberg, that's been pretty secure now that they've got him on the roster. Long-term left tackle doesn't have a great answer after Rashid Walker. So that might be one area I'd say you can look at and be concerned about, both short and long-term, because if Rashid Walker gets injured, now you're looking at maybe Bryce Effner as your left tackle. And after that, Drew Shelton is the next guy that has the left tackle potential. I'd say probably left tackle. That would be the one area I'd say that that has the most screaming need. Now, they've addressed it, and Shelton is going to be a Penn State Nittany Lion, but what does that do between when he gets to Penn State and when he's ready to play that position? There is a time frame there that they may need to find a transfer to fix that. But that's the other half of this equation is, if as long as you are a successful program, you can probably find some 1 and 2 year fixes in the transfer portal.
That has definitely changed the recruiting game. And now, almost to get more specific on the question you gave, the more general, Scott from York says, hey, T-Frank, love the 2022 recruiting class. What positions do we still need to get to complete this class? So there's the specific 2022 class. What do you want? There's maybe just a couple positions still open, a couple of slots still open. How would you like to see them fill it?
Maybe a couple of spots. It's pretty full. They've got good depth and flexibility at safety and receiver with a couple guys that can play either position. Linebacker, you've got your guy now as your long-term project in Keon Wiley, and you've got your guy who's playing that position right now in Abdul Carter. I don't think they're going to be able to add another corner, but they don't have a guy that screams early transition to college right now. They got a couple of guys that are talented. Jordan Allen is probably a good transition to college right away, but I don't know about his overall athletic profile as being a guy who is going to compete right away. I think he still needs to develop physically. We'll see what happens between then and now. Maybe another offensive lineman. This class is pretty full. I don't really know of a place that they have a need. I think they could possibly add another offensive lineman just because there are five starters and they've got three in this class with J.B. Nelson, Malik McNeil, and Drew Shelton. And that's a good mix there where you've got inside and outside body types. So maybe another outside guy or maybe another inside guy with some position versatility there. So that might be where I would go.
I would have gone offensive line. With just three guys this year, you could never have enough offensive linemen. is also, yeah, I think, a rule of thumb. Let's go to Jeremy in New Hill, North Carolina. He even tells us New Hill is outside of Raleigh. Thank you for that, Jeremy, because we would have been wondering. All right. Jeremy says, you've mentioned all the scouting you've done. Who is one player you were bullish on that didn't pan out for one reason or another? And who is the one player that outperformed his tape? And he also gives us a bonus question. What is your favorite state college location to have a cold pint?
Well, that last one, I don't think that any have endorsed me or the show, so I don't necessarily know if I want to do to reciprocate freely. One place that I do love, maybe not a pint, but I am a coffee snob, and I don't care because I love their product so much. I love Rothrock coffee. It is phenomenal. So I'll go with coffee instead of a cold one. Although there's a couple good places around. If you're looking for them, you can hit me up personally and I'll let you know. A couple are in Bellefonte. I'll say that. Some of my favorite are in Bellefonte, not necessarily in State College. The guys that you always remember, the guys you got wrong. You always remember the guys that are misses for you because you're a bit embarrassed by that. Justin Shorter is the one that sticks out to me the most clearly of a guy that when I watched his high school tape, I just went, wow. He was somewhere between DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson in his athletic profile of a guy who was so big and so physical and ran so fast that I thought as long as you develop that kid, he's going to become, you know, a first-round pick, a first-round receiver. And so far, he's on his second team and has not really, the light hasn't come on yet. And that is one where sometimes that's how it goes. It doesn't matter all the athletic stuff in the world. Football is a complete game, mind and body. And if you don't have all of the ingredients, you won't reach the highest level. And that's another guy, and I'll give you two for the price of one, because I thought Sean Clifford was going to be another quarterback that was a mid-round draft pick. Maybe not a first-rounder. But I thought he was a guy that was super accurate, aggressive with the football, confident, played with that fire that you felt familiar with. You know, I know everyone compared that early to Trace McSorley, but what we've seen is as time has gone on, it's not a complete profile. And that's where when you talk about the young guys in the class of 2022, we won't know if they've got a complete profile until you throw them into the fire. And we'll, you know, you can be as confident as you want. Those guys, especially at that quarterback position, you just can't know until you know. And that's, to be fair to Sean, he's got an opportunity this year to prove me right. But, you know, the full body of work does not right now look like he's going to turn into that guy that can throw the ball to every part of the field accurately, make great decisions, and be precise, even if he doesn't have the great physical tools. That's what I thought he could be, and so far that has not happened. The guy that I felt really good about, and it was based off of some really early stuff I saw from him in camp, but also off his high school tape, was Journey Brown. I thought he was dynamic, and I thought he wasn't just a track athlete. So he came in as a 3-star, very late add, had to prove it to the program to get a scholarship. But as I saw him mature in football, especially very early on, it was just going to take him time to gain that strength in order to unlock all the nastiness he had inside of him. I saw physicality. And when I see track speed and physicality, especially at running back, that is a great combination. And that's what you see in a couple of guys that Penn State has in the class of 22 and some that you're eyeballing in 23 is their track legit. And then they play nasty on the football field. When you have that combination, you have another great opportunity to be, you know, just dominant. And that's maybe one area you didn't see that from Justin Shorter was he didn't really have that nastiness to him on the field where he was truly dominating from a physical sense of a guy that could probably dribble most high school athletes. He could probably dribble them like a basketball. But he wasn't throwing stiff arms. He wasn't doing that. He was just jumping over people and kind of, you know, doing things that were easy and natural to him. And that's where you try to learn some of those things that you don't see in context that you want to see in a football player. So I'd say those would be the three guys that I would point out for guys that I loved and didn't work out and guys that did work out and I was right about.
Well, that Journey Brown, you definitely have that one. You hit on that one. All right, let's go to Jason in Huntington. He says, hey, T. Frank, really enjoy your insight and breakdown of recruits. Been thinking, this name, image, likeness thing, do you think it has the potential of causing some bad feelings among players? Can you imagine a quarterback or running back getting large sums of money versus a lineman, for example? Money can cause a lot of animosity. National media seems to think that a good culture would mediate that. I'm not so sure. What say you? Thank you.
I don't like it. So it's a valid thing. But my biggest problem is I don't like that thought, because for years it was the reason that we gave to not pay athletes a fair compensation for what they've been doing. We threw up all these roadblocks, and one of them was unbalanced in the locker room. And like, sure, but not to make this gross comparison, but in the NFL, it doesn't matter. Everyone knows everyone's salary, and everyone, again, with a good culture in a good locker room, gets along. These are less mature people because they are 18, 19, 20-year-olds. I think if you are, I don't know, and I don't know that I care, because good teams are going to be good teams because all those ingredients are going to be there. Again, it puts more stress on the coaches, right? But then it becomes, are you recruiting the right players? Are you recruiting guys that are here not just for the money, but to win football games, and then the rewards of that will come? Because I think that is what James Franklin and the coaching staff have been doing anyway. They've been doing that anyway, finding the right fit, the right guy to bring in to the program. And to me, that is probably going to not change, because they're focused on that anyway. They've identified what those traits are, and guys that are truly focused on winning, sure, it might bother them, but they know that my value will win out in the end, whether it's in college or in the NFL, because if I'm good enough, those things will come. And that's, I don't know. I don't have a good answer, because there isn't an answer. And I guess in the end, I don't particularly care.
Well, I think over the entire college football landscape, there may be spots where it happens, but I don't think it's going to be an overwhelming issue. All right, we need to pick our winner. Real quick, we had John ask us about the concerns as far as recruiting, what positions. Scott was from York, was a little more specific with that concern with the 22 class. Jeremy asked you about your scouting, who outplayed and who underplayed your scouting report. And Jason from Huntington asked about name, image, and likeness. Who do you have as your winner?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that Jason had my least favorite question, but it was probably the best question in a lot of ways, but I don't want to pick it. So we're going to go Jeremy, because I needed to be humbled. I needed to remember my failure. So we're going to go with Jeremy, keeping me sharp.
Poor Jason. All right. Jeremy is our winner. We'll be in contact with you. Stick around. Quarter number four, we're going to talk more college football in general with Dustin Schutte from SaturdayTradition.com. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.